Good morning, friends. It is a pleasure to be coming your way again over the airwaves. We hope this Sunday morning finds you happy in the Lord and diligent to obey Him both in word and in deed, giving no place to the devil. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Now, there are two good reasons for me to bring you this gospel message. One of them is that we may expose the evil works of Satan and his agents, and the other, that we may speak in defense of the gospel and hold up the truth. I do need your prayers that we may do so boldly without fear of men. This scripture from Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In this scripture, we have pictured before us two different lives and their manner of living. One of them I might term the old man. And I don't speak this through a lack of respect for older people, as many of the young folks refer to their father as the old man. To tell you the truth, I don't like this expression at all when used in that way. But I refer to the old man. This is the manner in which the scriptures speak of it, as that life of sin and wickedness. The old man delights in things after the flesh. Sensual pleasures and revelings are the things for which he seeks. The new man is that spiritual life to which one is resurrected as a new person in Christ. But let me give you a little more Bible description of the two men. In this book, Ephesians 4, in verses 22-24, we find these words, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Observe now, if you will, any young man or young lady brought up in a home of Christian environment, taught to respect their parents, their school teachers, and the officers of the law. But let that same individual fall into the company of wayward young men and women who begin their downward way by the simple act of smoking cigarettes, which leads further to the use of drinking, beer, and whiskey. Then let them participate in a few wild parties and dances and the use of strong drugs, such as marijuana, heroin, and LSD, and what is the result? My answer is this: very quickly will the expression of innocency fade from their countenance. Instead of beauty will come an expression of unhappiness and unrest. Gray hairs will show up, unless they're bleached or dyed, and wrinkles come all too soon, even in their youthful lives. One small sin leads to another of larger proportion. They find disappointment, and their dreams of happiness are dashed upon the cold realities of life. And often, those who seem to be their best friends turn them down and forsake them at a time when they need help most. This, my friends, is the life of the old man. The old man walks according to the prince of this world, which is none other than Satan himself. Did you notice the expression which refers to these folks as being dead in trespasses and sins. Death is often used by writers to express a state of extreme misery. And certainly, these folks who live such lives by trespassing and sinning bring themselves into a state of deplorable wretchedness, as do the heathen people of all nations. And having thus sinned against God, they are condemned by Him and are considered to be in a state of death. They are liable to the punishment of death which they deserve and which is ready to be inflicted upon them. When people deviate from the line and rule of moral equity, as well as many other flagrant offenses, they cross that sacred line that separates the old man and the new. Now, as to how long God will tolerate such a state of condition, I cannot tell. Sometimes He brings swift destruction upon those who disobey His laws, and at other times He has long patience with them, pleading and waiting for them to come to repentance. God is not pleased in the death of any, but He does want and require folks to repent of their sins and forsake them if they will enjoy the happiness of eternal life. I was sitting in a place of business where two young men were also present. After some conversation and discussion, their talk became so filthy that I just walked away from them. Notice again this third verse in Ephesians 2, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Did you know that folks who do things like this are subject to the wrath and displeasure of God? A whole catalog is enumerated in the first chapter of Romans, and this verse is found at the end of the chapter. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But briefly, let us consider the new man. This is one who's been born of the Spirit, made a new creature in Christ. The things which he once loved, he then turns his back upon. And the unsearchable riches of Christ, for which he cared nothing or very little, then becomes his delight and pleasure. He had rather be in prayer meeting than at a dance hall. He had rather be drinking of the river of the pleasure of God's love than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And in doing so, there is a satisfaction upon his countenance. There is peace in his heart and contentment in his life. He knows that he is a child of God who has promised to never leave or forsake his trusting ones. In the words of that dear old leader of God's people, Joshua, may I sum it up this way. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And now this poem. The touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1? $1? Then two? Only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three? But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? 2,000, and now three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going and gone, cried he. The people cheered. But some of them cried, we do not quite understand. What changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. and many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin, a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Let us pray. O Lord, the God of all creation, we're glad that you did not leave us in our sins, but you provided a means for our escape and made us the children of God. We pray especially for each listener of the broadcast, and we ask that you would keep them from the evil, give them victory over every trial, and peace in their hearts, which will last while the ages of eternity roll. And to thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Here's a song, "We Shall Run and Not Be Weary," as sung by the Carver Quartet.
I now am running in the Christian race to gain the promised prize. Through Jesus' matchless saving, keeping grace, we'll crown him in the skies. We shall run, not be weary, we shall walk and never faint. We shall run and not be weary, we shall walk and never faint. We're traveling to our happy home, we'll walk and never faint. We'll run and never falter by the way, for Jesus' word is true. If we ever will obey, to bring us safely through, we shall run and not be weary.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. A very cheerful goodbye.
To our happy